Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They are the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 17th to the 19th, 2019 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by The Wargaming Company. Wish you could play a great Napoleonic's wargame that's different from the same old stuff? Try ESR. ESR makes Napoleonic's accessible, a complete system with you as the core commander. Start an army with ESR box sets or use your existing collection. It's meaty enough for diehards, but friendly for newcomers. Visit thewargamingcompany.com. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. On today's episode, you're stuck with me. you're not really stuck with me, but it is just yours truly. My buddy and co-host, Mr. Adrian Benson, is not here today. He's actually left to go on vacation for about a week and a half or so. And I always hate podcasts that tell you about things that would have been, right? They're like, well, you know, if only we could have done this, if only such and such happened, if only whatever the excuse. And for me, whenever I hear that kind of stuff, I think, oh, well, so I'm getting something that's not as great. And this is kind of one of those situations where we had planned, Adrian and I, to have a special guest on to talk about a new game that we think you all have some sort of enjoyment for, and we had hoped to do it, and then I got sick, and actually my eldest child got sick, and turned out she had the flu. She caught the flu, must have been days before she got her flu shot, and then came down with the flu shortly after, and then my baby got sick with a cold, and then I got sick with what turned out to be the flu for a week, and my baby got sick again with an ear infection, and my wife caught the flu, and just all sorts of crazy shenanigans happened that caused us to be in a position where we had to reschedule this special guest, who we hope will come on in 2020 to talk about this game that sounds really, really cool. It's a World War II game. It's something that we think you will all enjoy hearing about and that you might also enjoy picking up and playing. As a result of that, I'm recording this the week of Thanksgiving here in the United States, and that means people are not around. But fear not, we have plans. We know what we're going to do. So before he left, I actually talked with Adrian about some stuff that he wanted to cover. And one of the things that kind of percolated in my head, in case you are not aware of this from the many episodes of the show, I'm an ideas person. So more than not, when we do an episode or whether we run a game or if we're going to an event or whatever, I'm the person who says, hey, wouldn't it be cool if, and then I come up with some sort of zany idea. And Adrian, as the more pragmatic one who looks at this little playful pup and says, I don't know, is the one to be like, how about no? And it can be frustrating sometimes. But it's also really, really important because I know as a person who comes up with all sorts of ideas, a lot of my ideas are crazy. They're just not plausible. And in this case, my idea was one where it's not crazy. And since Adrian's not here, he wasn't able to talk me off of doing it. And it was to kind of reach out to you, the listeners, and say, okay, we've done this before in the past, but we're going to kind of do it a little different. And we thought, what if you could ask us anything? What do you want to ask us? And put that onto social media and said, okay, ask us anything, whatever you'd like. And we'll take from that, pull out some of them, and talk about them on the show. And so that's one of the things we're going to be doing today. We, of course, have our Lumber Mill segment, which is sponsored by Things from the Basement. We're going to have a hobby update about things that Adrian's working on. And just kind of talk about a few other odds and ends in the gaming sphere of what's happening and things that have happened this 2019 podcast season and things that will be happening in the 2020 podcast season. If you don't know why I'm referring to things in that way, it's because this is the final new episode of the show. So every year we do a run of about 20 to 25 new episodes, and then we take some time off at the end of the year, usually about a month, month and a half or so, roughly last half of December, first half of January, and we take some time to spend with family and friends, to kind of recoup, come up with cool ideas for the new year. And during that time, you are not left alone. Don't fear. As Douglas Adams would say, don't panic. Grab the Hitchhiker's Book to the Galaxy with its friendly lettering that says, don't panic. Have your towel, suck on the end with the antidepressants, and be calm. Accept. Note. Move on, as they say. And we will have content coming to you. We do best of content where sometimes the audience, sometimes some of us, sometimes we just mix it all up to pick episodes that we think are best of, that really stand out in some way, shape, or form. And we re-release those, but with extra commentary shoved in the front to give you a little extra cool bit of listening fun for your ear holes and to kind of help you get through the holiday season until we come back with new content in the new year. And for here, that means we are winding down. You'll get this episode here with cool things going on. You get some best of stuff happening. And then we'll come back in 2020 with new content. Really cool stuff going on. So let's dive on in with some of the things that you had asked. So as I said, I put it up on different places on social media. And one of our questions from Johnny Grogan, Johnny G, is anything? With many, 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 many question marks in it, a few exclamation points. And the answer is yes. Anything. Probably not what was intended there, but really, we were open to anything, and questions kind of ran a little of this and a little of that, but they didn't go crazy or weird or do anything really too unusual, which is always a danger with that kind of stuff, right? Someone's like, what color is your house? I mean, you can answer it, or you can not, but you just don't know what people can ask. So we actually got a question here from Mark H. He says, what is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow? And Mark, its velocity is slightly more than that of a laden swallow. Because a laden swallow, having more stuff, just can't keep it up. So when they're in race, that unladen swallow and the laden swallow, they look at each other and the laden swallow says, oh, darn, I can't keep up with you. And the unladen swallow goes, whoosh, and off it goes. And the rest is history, as they say. Also have a question popping up from over in the Barbarians group on Facebook. And we have this one coming from the head honcho of that group, Mr. Mike Payne, who wants to know, is Wargaming Recon going to podcast from Havoc 2020? I could give a witty remark. I could give her a sarcastic remark. The honest answer is I don't know. And one of the things about me is that I have an aversion to traveling at any sort of distance or to places that I've never been before. And Havoc is moving. It will not be at the Mayronis Park in Shrewsbury. It's moving to somewhere else. And I believe it actually is going to be roughly the same distance, but it's going to be down in Sutton, Massachusetts at the Gendron American Legion Hall. They are only having one floor, or the building's only one floor. So I don't know how it's going to be insofar as number of games, or space for vendors, or space to hang out. In the past, Havoc had been at the Mayronis Park in Shrewsbury, which they had almost a whole building, which was kind of cool. And there was a bar in one whole half of the area with nice seating, both bar tables and just regular booths and stuff. So we could take a booth if it wasn't busy, and we could be there, we could record from there, and do all of that, and we wouldn't often go out to Havoc to playing games, although this year in 2019 we did, but we would go mainly to kind of shop, and there weren't as many vendors this time as there had been in the past that we really loved, and we'd go to do record live from there so that we could do a regular episode and talk about stuff, but be like, hey, we're here at Havoc, and kind of combine things together. It just kind of made for a fun day of events. And now with the change, I don't know. Adrian and I haven't really talked about it. We got to see how that fits into stuff. I believe that they're still planning to do it in April. I think April 3rd through the 5th, 2020. I could be wrong on the dates, but I'm sure that as time progresses into 2020, we'll see more dates for that be posted and more information posted about this event. It's been around for a very, very long time. It's probably one of the longest running historical minis conventions in the Northeast, if not the longest, but definitely it's up there. They've been doing it for over three decades or so. And I think they're just adjusting to the changing needs of membership and attendees and vendors and everyone and all that kind of stuff to see how it goes. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens as time progresses. For me personally, April's a tricky month with things like my wife's birthday and a lot of family happenings that take place. And of course, depending where Roman Catholic, I'm not saying you have to be, but we are Catholic. And so we have Easter that happens usually April-ish, depending on what the calendar says. So just like all these kind of things go in there. So I don't honestly know, to tell you the truth. And I could say, yes, I hope we can be there, or no, I doubt we'll go. But I don't want to give a yes or no answer to that. Really, it's nuanced. I don't know. And maybe we'll be able to, and maybe not. We're just going to have to wait and see how it goes. And I know some of you will be there. Some of you have been going in the past. And I'm interested to see how many of you who have been going will continue to go with the new location, and how many who have not been able to go will now be able to because of this new spot. Mike also asks what the chances are of getting anyone from the Wargaming Recon team to play in one of his games at TotalCon. So Mike runs, if you're not familiar, some amazing pulp fiction gaming set in 1920s-ish, fictionalized Shanghai that he refers to as Hanghai. A lot of fun. I played over the years, and I can probably definitively say for me, chances are nil. And not because I don't love playing in the games or that I don't love playing with Mike. I do on both accounts. We will be at TotalCon. I know that for a fact. I booked the room and have that all going. And we have things planned. But we'll be doing more coverage of stuff, more video shoots, and just more interviews and things like that. Going to be busier in a lot of ways at TotalCon in 2020. And that's just going to take a lot of time. We're only able to go usually for the weekend. So we're there for like three-ish days. Three-ish days sounds like a lot, doesn't it? It goes by so fast. And for an event like this, a lot of people go. Actually, they're there on the Wednesday, so they're there for 5 days. And while I would love to do that, I would also hate to be away from my family for so long. And I'm looking forward to TotalCon. I just don't think there's good chances of me being able to play anything, but maybe Adrian can, but I cannot speak for him as he's, well, I could, I guess, because he's not here, so I could speak for him all I want, but that's a good question, so we will have to see how things go. We have another question, actually, from Mark H., who says he's curious, quote, I'm curious to hear your opinions regarding the future of the hobby. Is there enough young interest? Is it a dying pastime? Do you think there may be a revival occurring given a recent South Park episode? Or is it a passing fad that will inevitably revert to only us old-timers? Do you think people are becoming disenchanted with technology and video games and finally realizing the value in a real material hobby as opposed to digital and face-to-face interactions? And is there enough young interest in historical gaming, or does it naturally evolve from science fiction as we age? Woo! Phew. Mark, you hit me with a lot of questions there, buddy. That's a lot of stuff. So really, there's much. Like, that's an episode right there, right? That's two episodes. A lot to unpack for us to discuss. So why don't I just kind of poke here and there? One of the things that we're hoping to do, and this kind of dives into another part of the show. Well, for 2020, one of the things that I'm working on is to have a college professor of mine who is a therapist who went to Oxford and has written a lot of books and is just a fantastic individual come on the show and talk about how things like tabletop gaming, whether it's board gaming, whether it's playing with miniatures, but like this in-person human interaction in the same place playing a game can be helpful to those who suffer from anxiety, who suffer from depression, who have various mental ailments and illnesses, and how it can be helpful to them. We've talked a lot in the past about things like depression. We've talked about suicide. We've talked about anxiety. We've had Joshua Shoebridge on, who was very open and honest about his own depression and how gaming helps him with that. I talked in a very emotional, actually, especially for me, a very emotional episode with all of you about how tabletop gaming and this whole hobby helps me with my anxiety, and just kind of expanded on that through some other episodes. And I know that there are those of you out there who listen to the show who either have spoken with me privately or who just in other ways are dealing with a variety of issues, some physical, some mental health, whether you have anxiety, depression, anything else there, that something like this could be helpful to you or to someone who cares about you and who loves you. And before I go any further, I do want to say that if you are someone who's in a situation of crisis, someone who needs help, please get it. Reach out to a professional, talk to your doctor, call whatever the emergency phone number is in your area, whether it's 911 or whatever they use in your country. Just really do whatever you can to give yourself another moment, take a break, to allow you to breathe, to be here. If you are in the United States, there is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which you can reach at 1-800-273-8255. They also have an online chat at suicidepreventionlifeline.org. If you're seeing a medical health professional, you probably have their phone number. You probably have their contact information. And they probably have talked with you, hopefully, about procedures for if you're feeling in crisis. Please use them. I want to make sure I said all that before we move forward because I care. I care about all of you. I want to make sure that you're healthy, happy, that you get joy, that you are able to live fulfilling and meaningful and happy lives for yourselves and for those in your lives with you, whether they're friends or family or coworkers, whoever. I think that with this, there is real value, Mark, in having a hobby such as we do, where we interact in person with people who maybe share, if nothing else, they share the hobby with us in common. And maybe everything else is completely different, but I think that has exceptional value. I think it has far more value than any sort of electronic gaming. I love doing things like computer games. I love playing video games. But when you do any sort of multiplayer-like things on computer games, if you're playing via Steam or on your Xbox or PlayStation or whatever, either you're going to have people calling you names, people who aren't going to interact, or people who are so focused on playing the game that they're not able to interact with you even if they wanted. Maybe they don't have a headset to talk, or if they do, they're just like, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do whatever. Or if they're typing it out into a chat room feature or something, they can't spend the time or they don't spend the time to actually engage in meaningful interaction. And even if they do, the odds of you playing with the same people over and over and over again in these situations are very small. Whereas if you're doing something, whether it's a sci-fi war game, whether you're doing a historical, whether you're doing a board game, card game, whatever, you're probably going to see the same people. Maybe you won't play with them all the time, but you might have your own group. You might form friendships, which is something that I had done. A lot of my friendships had been formed as a result of going to a local gaming store in my college years. And those people, a lot of them were ones who came to my wedding. I had ones who were ushers at my wedding and people who I still keep in touch with. I formed my friendship with Adrian way, way back then. Even before I met my wife, I met Adrian, I believe, for my friendship with him because of gaming. And here it is now, and he and I do the show, and we do all sorts of stuff. I don't think you get that as much through electronic gaming. And does it exist? Yes, I think it does. Of course, I can't say it doesn't, but I just think it's not there. And I think, if nothing else, the real value with tabletop gaming and this hobby that we have is a connection that we form with someone else or a group of other people. I think perhaps for a lot of us, maybe some of us are very extroverted. I think we all have combinations of this, whether you're like 80% extroverted and 20% introverted or whatever. And there's even degrees of that. You could be an extrovert, introvert, an introverted extrovert, all sorts of personality types. But I think even if you are the most reserved person who's like, I'm just going to be quiet, hang out on the corner, I don't want to talk to anyone because I'm scared or I don't know how to do, I'm shy, I'm socially awkward, or I don't know, I have a hard time doing all this kind of stuff. Even if you have that person, you still get something out of it. It still charges up your social meter. It brings you some energy, some joy. And if you're an introvert, yeah, it's draining too. Like, you get pleasure from it, you enjoy it, but then you need your own time to go curl up on a couch or wherever. Oh my God, too many people. And then you come back and you're okay. Even in those cases, you're still getting a lot of benefit and you're giving a lot of benefit to others as well. You don't get that elsewhere. It's different. You could say that you might get it, you know, hanging out with friends, whether you're going out to eat, seeing a movie, playing miniature golf, whether you're watching, I don't know, something on TV, going to a concert, or going to the pub. But I don't think it's quite the same. I really don't. I think being across that table, playing a game, allows you to communally focus on something. So you don't have the pressure of thinking like, what do I talk about? What's going on? What am I supposed to be doing? Am I paying too much attention? Like, your purpose is there to play the game and you can interact with others. And one of the beautiful things about us as people, as a species, as humans, right? We pick up on a lot of things that are said, not with our mouths, not with our voice, but with our body. Our body language speaks volumes, right? It's like a picture that never ends. And if you're Italian, I'm going to make a stereotype of you're Italian like me. And as I'm talking now, my hands are going a mile a minute and they're moving and my body language is going. And you can hear, right? You can hear I'm smiling now. You can hear that I'm smiling and that I'm excited compared to me being like, oh, hello. It's different. So if you're across from me on the table, if I just start to smirk a little, you have to tell maybe, right? But you see it and you think, oh, maybe that's an opening for you to be like, this guy's approachable. This person is someone I want to talk to about something, and maybe I'll chance doing something else. I don't think you get that elsewhere. So I think it's very, very important for this. I think board gaming in particular is continuing to grow. I think the hobby as itself about it dying, I think that's a myth. I think this whole draining of the hobby thing is nonsense. I think that if you look at the numbers, and the Great Wargaming Survey has touched on this a lot, there are people, and good numbers of them, in any demographic you look at, and it shows that people tend to think if they're of a certain age, if they're an older person, they think the hobby's graying because they hang out with people who are of their age and of their similar demographics. And they, if you see a bunch of graybeards around the table, you think, oh, it's all graybeards. And if you're a bunch of 20-somethings and you're playing and you look around and you see a bunch of 20-somethings, you think it's all 20-somethings. So I think we're in these, and I hate this word just because I hate it, it's so corporate. But if you're in a silo, we hang out in this little silo. We're like, this is all it is. Gaming is so huge. The hobby is so big. There's enough for us all, no matter what we love, no matter what sparks joy in us. And there's tons, just so much there that I think the idea of it dying, I mean, nothing is forever, right? But the idea of it dying is just, it's so foreign to me. I really, truly believe it's here for quite a long time. Maybe it'll be different than it is now. Change is inevitable, and it's just one of those things that we have to look at and realize that's okay. And I don't think we're gonna have any issue where people are gonna be like, oh, I completely hate technology, I hate video games, I'm only gonna do one or the other. I think you're gonna have that transition between both. I think you're gonna have a blending of the two more and more as time progresses. With gaming, there's all sorts of games now, Carnage and Glory, for example, where you can play a game, but the computer does the heavy lifting, which I think is fantastic. I know Dave Valentine is working on something really cool that does a similar kind of thing, but in another sphere. We can have an app, I believe, on your phone or a tablet. I could be wrong. Dave will correct me, and we'll let you know at a later point. But again, it does the heavy lifting. So that way you can play the game. You focus on the fun. You focus on the people. You focus on interacting. You focus on the doing as opposed to the, well, let me roll some dice. Let me run some numbers and stuff. And people like that, and that's great. But this gives you the option. So I think you're going to see that kind of stuff coming up more and more. I think there are more people coming in who are younger, who enjoy different types of gaming. I think it's just a matter of exposing them to it. Because if you don't know what's out there, you don't know what's out there, right? You don't know what you don't know. And you really have to put it out there so that people can see and get exposed to what's happening. And that's why I think of the number of younger players who are at the Maker's Workshop. And then you have things like TotalCon, Havoc, Huzzah, like all of these things, right? They attract a diversity of type of game, role players or support gamers or minis players are going on there. And I think it's really, really important. I don't think there's going to be any sort of dying. I know I went to with the Big Bang Theory. Oh my gosh, this game was on. Oh, Sheldon's playing the game. And it's cool, right? Warcraft, which we're going to get to, all sorts of stuff. I know it's not a tabletop game, but they had tabletop stuff that I played. The appeal and engages more people into knowing what's going on. Very, very helpful. And, I mean, I've just talked to for like 20 minutes about that one series of questions. And I could go on longer. I really could. And if Adrian were here, he could as well. I know he's not a doctor, but he could easily do it for sure. So let's move on to some other questions that we have. And we actually have another one here that I want to talk about from Mike Payne, who wants to know if Wargaming Recon is going to run anything at TotalCon. I don't know when the deadline is for submission. I will say there have been discussions, and I don't know. And that's not the kind of answer anyone wants. I would love to. The practicality of doing it is an I don't know. There's so many things that could be done. Whether or not they will or can be done is hard to say. But I know people have loved that I've talked about 1775 and doing a board game. Should be done. I don't know. I don't know. I do think because just the amount of time and stuff you need, although, I mean, a large swath of things in the basement terrain, of my board stuff that we could use, of the miniatures that are here. And let me work on it. And we'll see how it goes. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. We'll see. A longtime listener of the show and who we played games with before at, and Sal has some good questions here as well. Played for the following periods and why? Dark Ages and Naval any time period. Well, because I've done that. And no, I was going to say, I mean, like, technically, I guess-ish. I'd have to check on that because I can't remember. I'd have to say Hail Caesar. Because we have played Quartz Island. You have me speechless. I don't know. Wow, Sal, you've done something. I'm going to. Someone might say, well, on episode 48, you talked about and say that one. Because then clearly that would have been the only one I would have played. I get how that is. Let me try answering that question as why haven't I played any Dark Age rule set? Because maybe in the time period. Now, if you were to broaden it into not just historicals and say, like, and I'm not saying one of them, but some people have argued that you could kind of perhaps say that the Lord of the Rings adjacent, and again, I am not saying this, for that set. But generally, Vikings or whatever, bashing people a boot is not playing it. And as I've said before, and this is true, I'll play just about anything. I really will. I'll try to make, paint, or build anything. So like, I'd play it at a convention, right? If someone was wrong. Would like to. I am desirous of doing such a thing for me. Now, if I were to do Dark Ages, I probably would want to play Saga. I like its cool dials, its custom dice. I like that it's a product by multiple times. And thought, well, maybe I'll buy some. And then thought, no one else is going to want to play. I'm not going to paint them. Why am I going to buy anything? So, and I know people are very passionate about Dark Ages. What your favorite Dark Ages rule sets are and why? I have a passion for ancients. I love Rome and I love other time periods as well, such as American Rev. Muskets and Tomahawks you could use for American Rev. It's, I know, slightly earlier. And I'm going by favorite as the fact that we go back to it time and time and time. You have to do things to add special flavor to it for that time period foundation. But that's what I love about Black Powder. You get the foundation, you learn it, and then you can customize the war. We've done American Civil War, which is why I love it for American Civ. What about blah, 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 and this and that, and Fire and Fury. What about Garner and Glory? I have personally used and come back to time and time and time again that I really enjoy. Go almost anywhere with black powder and say, okay, let's put black powder, and you could use it for a thing going on, and you're okay. And then with some changes, you're playing Hail Caesar, or you're playing Pike. I really, really do. And I love the comfort of it, the familiarity of it. I know, and I think it's great. And so that's why I love it for Revwar. It's something that I'm going to check both off for that. And I know the fact that I can check both off. Would love to hear what your list is, though. Napoleonic. I play Sharp's Practice. It was very well run. I liked it a lot. And Adrian, and I'm sure he would go into great depth about all this stuff. And as much as I love playing Sharp, kind of guilting Adrian on purpose, but what I really, 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 really want to play is ESR. By the way, this rule set I could dive into, that I could love, and that I could just kind of go. I don't know if I will love it, but he needs to get off his butt and do that so we can play. Because with this, I love that ESR, and I mean, I talked about in the ESR episode, so higher level of stuff, so that things like, are there a few trees there? Don't map into, and it just allows you that greater control, because one of the problems, whatever it is, if I'm the person in charge, I really shouldn't be. And then there's a unit over there that we found out about. So then you should go and maybe attack them from the rear, but maybe not. Our goal is to get to point B. We know there are enemy in between us. Handle it, right? And then if something important comes along, then you kind of relay that on. Not so much from the, well, first you got to go 10 feet. Spend all your ammo last turn. Let's reroll. Because we think we lead to the right of where the unit is. So you can do, no, not for me. I mean, I do a lot of games that are like that, and because that's what most games are. But I want to be able to be like, okay, and we need to do this. You're smart. I put you in command for a reason. You have your own division. Make it happen. And that's what I want to be able to do. Or at least just one. Number two is interesting because you separate out naval instantly to one, and something that I think a lot of people will say, and that's bolt action. Reason for no, I like it, honestly. I like and dislike it for some of the same. Dislike it because there's a lot of people out there playing it because of the organized. This exists, and I'm also not saying it, but I fear that there's a growth. They used to play GW games like 40K. They're min-maxing, or maybe Flames of War, where they're things by Private Press. I could go on, I'm sorry. Which is fine for other people if they enjoy it. You play with people who are like-minded, where I don't have to worry about this so much. To kind of get involved, that's a key point for me with rules. Are they accessible? I like that everything's kind of combined. It's accessible, again, to get stuff. Not just tools, but to get the things you need for it. I like all that. I like all the eye candy that I really enjoy. I like the dynamic of not knowing when it's going to be your turn. I like that. There are things I do not like about it, just like they strongly dislike everything either. But bolt action is going to go up. Enjoy Flames of War. Not my favorite. I still like it. Well, I guess it's just Battlegroup. They have different versions, which I think is fine. Enjoy play. And it's minis. I have a little bit of a confusion here, because I think it did. Now, for people like myself, games set in space, and if that's favorites, that probably rank higher than the actual ships and water games, we come up with different answers, because it suits me. Battlefleet Gothic is one of my favorite games of all time. It's a naval games workshop ever did. It's one of the best naval games you'll ever come across. It's really World War I-ish kind of combat. I love the boarding aspects. I love how each faction has its own, almost like school of combat, actually, if you were to think about it, how you see this with other military educations, right? When focuses and concentrations. So I feel like this is really that Star Wars Armada. It's a lot of battles, I think it's called. It's just kind of a fun game you pull out quick and easy. I love, one of the reasons I love it, so you can just kind of be like at a con, you pull it out, it's quick and easy to do. Dogfighting in that, a naval game, I mean, Star Wars Armada, a lot of fun with the biggest ships, same kind of thing going on. Next of Battlefleet Gothic, but different, so I thought that was really cool. These are ones that I really, really love. Naval in water games is a beer and pretzel game. It is so beer and pretzels, and you can make it much more. Dan Yusum game, it's out of print now. So many different figures, and I think they're actually kind of expensive still to get lots of it. I will not say how much I've spent on this game, too much. And the name is escaping me, which I guess shows you how much I love it. But Naval Thunder, I believe it is, where it had that nice blending of charts and keeping track of stuff without having too much. But it really gave you that nice blending of things going on. I love the way movement works in it. I love the way combat, area combat. It can get a little abstract because all that plane stuff takes place. Kind of, that's another one that I love. But if I had to limit it and like just naval, it would have to be definitely gothic for the reasons I detailed as well. But we will leave some of those for a later Lumber Mill segment, which is sponsored by Things from the Basement. So for this Lumber Mill segment, we're going to talk about a few things here. I want to start actually with a hobby update from Adrian. He's actually made some progress on 10mm Austrian Hussars for, I believe, ESR. And when he's all done, he'll have some pics to share with all of us. And he had instructed me, I'm going to quote him, "Tell them you are excited to play a classic Avalon Hill naval war game with me soon. I rescued it from my parents' house last trip, and it is war at sea. I'm sure it's going to be delightful." And this is me talking. So I do look forward to giving that a try and seeing how that goes. And that's what he's done. He's on vacation, as I have said. I've been sick with the flu for a week, so I've been a little woo with things. But there's a couple things that I want to talk about. So the first is, I've actually made some progress with the Things from the Basement Feudal Japan Yamashiro Mountain Fort Solid Barracks. Go me! I spray painted, I base coated all the pieces. So when I do this, I do it on the sprue. And one thing that I've actually considered is not doing it on the sprue, at least for the larger pieces, because then you have all the edges that I end up touching up by hand with craft paint. I use the Folklore brand of paint, and it's never exactly the same color, but it's close enough. And if you're going to complain about it, you can paint it and build it for me. It's my own thinking. But I've done all the pieces. They've come out really well. So I just need to find some time when I'm not sick as a dog to go ahead and start assembly. But I will say, just looking at the kit, I mean, a lot of the components are very similar or identical to things from the other Feudal Japanese kits. So if you've done any of Jorg's Feudal Japanese kits, you're going to have a leg up because you can do some of it in your sleep. Like the doors are the same. They have the same handle. So you trim up the handle, you put it in, boom. They use the same things for the runners on the top of the bottoms of the doors. The walls themselves are basically the same. All the short ends are the same, so they go together the same way. It's the same construction method for the foundation, where you start off in the first, step or two, by doing the foundation with these really cool, like you do it upside down, basically, because everything's raised off the ground, so you get all that going on. It's really on the porch and the deck. It's the same kind of system for the roof, where you build down and take off the whole roof, but the plate goes down. You have the triangle end pieces, the actual roofing that goes down, along with like the little thin strips of MDF that go down to cardboard. I could be wrong. Jorg will correct me if I'm wrong. It's wooden that kind of goes over it. And I recommend painting this separately. So that's really cool. And I mean, everything is just, it's the same. Everything from the flooring, take the same components, put them together in different ways or in different configurations, different, entirely new building with its own aesthetic, its own design. It's really cool. Highly recommend it. I know this will go together pretty quickly for me when I actually start building it and assembling it. Because really, it's all been base coated. And I'm trying to tell, I may have actually done some weathering on it. So here's one of the things I like to do with these particular kits anyway. And I think I've actually done it. Looking at it, I couldn't tell at first, but I think I have. I like to base coat them all with a rattle can, a spray paint can. And then I use the Army Painter Strong Tone or Dark Tone ink. And I go over the whole thing to just kind of give it a little extra depth. Then I do sub-assemblies, or mostly assemblies. And then at that point, I dry brush everything. And I also will, at that point, fix in the edging on things. Because when I take them out of the sprue, the edges aren't painted. So I'll do that. So that way, they get done. And then I dry brush and catch corners and things. Because I find you get a more pleasing aesthetic when it's built and you're doing your dry brushing, your weathering, and any of that kind of stuff, then trying to do it on the sprue, because then you get it off the sprue and you match it up and the weathering doesn't look right where the corners are or the edging or where things go together. So I find it better to wait and do that at a later step. And then I also want to talk about a kit I talked about a while ago, but I only recently, probably like days before I got sick, finished it. And it is the, from the industrial range, the industrial vents and small air conditioner. So I had previously done the large air conditioner, but I had only partway worked on these where I assembled them and then I spray painted them with a metallic aluminum spray paint. And it was cool because they were metallic, but it was so shiny, too shiny. And I thought, oh, well, you know, I'll use it like an ink wash on it because they were so shiny and metallic. I didn't think, but I should have, that using an ink wash would just bead up, which it did. Got little beads all over it. So I knew I had to really dull it down. So I used a variety of GW paints. I used texture paints. I used things like Typhus Corrosion, which is kind of a combination of a technical and texture paint because it's an ink wash-ish, but it has like grit in it. So I used that to kind of dirty it up. I used the Riser Rust on it to kind of give a rust look, and I'd smear it with my finger or with a foam brush or whatever to just kind of really deaden it and dull it all over so it wasn't so shiny. And I did all that, and then I actually was able at that point to use the Army Painter ink wash on areas to make it a little darker and deader so it looked like it came from like a very dirty industrial area. It could be good for pulp gaming, it could be good for 40K, sci-fi gaming, it could be good for bolt action and or whatever. And I did the same thing with the small air conditioner. And I think this just kind of goes to show the importance of weathering and how you can take something like a small air conditioner, which seems kind of silly, right? And you know it's just going to go and sit on your larger building or whatever, but you really want it to be part of it all. So I know a moment ago I was saying, I wait until everything's put together and I do it. But although this is going to go on like a larger industrial building, a factory, I think is what I'm going to put it on, both of them, I didn't want to do it when they're part of it because these are modular, so I can take them off. Put them on other things. The small air conditioner I'll probably glue on, but the other things, they can move. And they're also separate, right? So although they're part of the building, they're a sub-assembly. So I just wanted to use these to highlight both the importance of sub-assembly, even though these are separate kits. If you get the deluxe factory kit, I think it is, that York is selling, it comes with these. It comes with a variety of things, actually. And if you're really into factories and you don't have anything, I recommend getting it because you get a good price break for all that. But really, the importance of weathering really brings it to light. And my weathering is nowhere near as good as half the people you'll see online. But it's good for me. It made me happy, made me proud, brought joy, sparked joy for me. And I'm very proud of not only the air conditioner, which I think was easier because of the way it was done, designed and built by Jorg and built by me, but the vents in particular. So I can't wait to get these on a table. I think I could use these with Breach Storm, which was the only other thing I had worked on. I had been painting some Breach Storm stuff, and I was halfway through a model, one of the Zhrenthrar Prides models, and then I was sick, and I was like, oh, that's not happening. So I have to get back to it. Now, that is our Limber Mill segment. Again, I want to thank Things from the Basement for sponsoring that segment. And I just want to mention that we do have some cool things coming up in the new year. So as I mentioned previously, we have, I'm working with a former college professor who went to Oxford, who's written some books, who's a licensed therapist, about coming on in early 2020 to talk about how tabletop games can be helpful to people with mental illnesses, in particular anxiety and depression, and the values that they have, or the gaming rather has for people who deal with that. We will be rescheduling, I believe, our special guest, who we weren't able to have on because I had the flu, and have them come on and talk about the game and the rules that they have and what's going on there. So that's really cool. So we'll be doing that. We still have been teasing that we have a really, really big announcement, which we will be making in early 2020 or before perhaps. And I hope people like it, and I hope people join and jump on the bandwagon to make it come true by supporting it and backing it and seeing how that goes. So cross fingers. We also have some cool stuff coming in here that we're going to be having more content come out on social media, most likely, even during our break, where we still have to talk about the static grass mat, Killing Fields. We're going to be talking some more about the Dwarven Forge stuff from the Kickstarter that we backed before, because more of it's actually coming in for me. So we'll be having things like that on as well. Doing more with Breachstorm. We got more stuff from Things in the Basement we'll be dealing with. Of course, we have Battle... I was going to get the wrong name. Battle Scale to be talking about as well. And just a variety of things like that that'll be happening in the interim. Plus, the Best Of episode or episodes. I can't remember how many we're doing. And this is the first time I've been in the studio since I am mostly better from being sick. You might be able to tell I'm a little congested and nasally. I apologize for that, but I think you'd rather have an episode than no episode at all. So we have all that going on. We have our team growing. We have an individual who's asked me not to name them, who is helping out with the show notes. Of course, Joshua's doing the audio editing. We have Mark as our moderator for the interest to be part of our co-host team as a stable of being worked on and seeing how it's going. And I'm sure there are other things I can think of it other than just say that as of the moment of my recording this, our 912 likes. When we reach, and that will be whether we're in the new timing, but whatever that timing is, we will be doing the giveaway. There will be some. All you have to do to be part of the giveaway is choose at random, and they will win for each giveaway. We're at 1,912 now. We only need to get to 2,000. Your family, your coworkers, whatever. Invite them. Let's get to 2,000 likes. And then we can do it. Might be ambitious. I'm hoping we can do it before Christmas 2019. So if you belong to them, talk about gaming, if you invite them to like the page, it's a matter of when. So please help us with that and see what we can make a reality. I want to thank everyone who's taken the time to send questions to us, everyone who's been listening to it. We've covered a variety of things, and we've done all sorts of different stuff. We've gone to conventions. I honestly thought to myself, well, it was hard with one. Can I? Adrian had revealed that he will be moving to another state when X Small Scale Gaming. We talked with York Bender from Things in the Basement. We've done Ridge from Breachstorm on. We reviewed the Maneuver board game. Dave Enstoness from the Wargaming Company came on to talk about ESR. We did a whole plan. We did a whole Cube of Death live play. That was a lot of this podcast year. And it's been a lot of fun. We couldn't do it without you. This season, please stick around for the 2020 season. I can't believe it's so mind-boggling for me. And I know I've said it before, and I'm sure I'll see it coming up time and time and time again. But honestly, we started doing this, it's been over a decade, so something like that of doing this. And this is, the number's much anymore, but I think it's episode 242, and we've just had a variety of guests on. We talked about Clash of Spears, which I'm backing. We did another holiday gift guide before that. And we have this community that's growing, and we're grateful to be part of the hobby community. So we get social media, and we see the numbers on there for the number of people we've reached, and it's staggering. People with the post are like, one that doesn't do, quote, as well, whatever that means. It's like 3,000 people in engaged in talking about stuff. So thank you, all of you, for taking the time to listen to this episode of what's going on in your life, no matter how much time you're trying to science fiction spaceships as naval wargaming. Keep on gaming.
Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other good shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by The Wargaming Company. Wish you could play a great Napoleonics wargame that's different from the same old stuff? Try ESR. ESR makes Napoleonics accessible, a complete system with you as a core commander. Start an army with ESR box sets or use your existing collection. It's meaty enough for diehards, but friendly for newcomers. Visit thewargamingcompany.com. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They are the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 17th to the 19th, 2019 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.